Blog Talk Welcome. Radio.
Welcome to a replay requested by my wonderful audience from 2022 July on establishment and grow meaningful interpersonal connections in your business. Relax and enjoy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Networking Diva Hour radio show, always live, always heard worldwide.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Whoops. Can't stop the music. Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Networking Diva Hour today. And always, thank you for the new listeners out there for listening to this lovely show that I do going on 9 years. We're celebrating soon. And I am so grateful to all the people that tune in to hear from networking to current events to all business information in between. We have wonderful live guests every week, and we hope you enjoy their presentations. But, you know, I always like to start my show by telling you during the guest time, you can go into the chat room or you can go into my email. Yes. For a quicker response, and that's host@thenetworkingdivahour.com, where you can ask your questions. And I know we get overloaded with questions when a guest is on, so we can only pick a few, but I appreciate it. And then my guests will always give their information out, so you can continue if you want to ask them directly if you have questions that weren't answered, because most of the time they answer without even knowing during their presentation on what you might be asking. And this week we have Adam Judelson. He's a Los Angeles-based entrepreneur and executive startup advisor, and he's going to talk about how to establish and grow meaningful interpersonal business connections and relationships. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But I always like to start the show, as I said, by thanking the sponsors that have made it possible. And that is Kathy Bilkus, your Tax Lady Accounting Service, the Center of Gratitude Radio Show out of Jupiter, Florida, Shield 616, Protecting Our Protectors, the Colorado Springs Over 50.com app, and if you haven't gotten it, you need to get it. The Center for Spiritual Living, Colorado Springs. And Oasis for Water. And we have a new testimony today from me that you will hear about this awesome water as I celebrate 5 years on it. So thank you to my sponsors who make this show possible each and every week. Well, I don't have any announcements of anything going on this weekend. I guess there's some things going around town. And again, I want to mention, if you have something that is happening in your town and you'd like me to announce it, since we're heard across the United States and worldwide, actually, I will gladly announce at no cost to you a function, a fundraiser, something that's raising money for a good cause. I will gladly announce that for you. So go into my, let's see, you can go into my website at thenetworkingdivahour.com and list it there and let me know. You can contact me from there or go to the host@thenetworkingdivahour.com. There's many ways that you can reach me. Okay. So today, you know, I always say to you, if you're always networking, when are you working your business? And I have a great quote from Marshall Goldsmith in reference to the interpersonal relationships topic we're going to talk about today. And he stated, I regard gratitude as an asset and its absence a major interpersonal flaw. I like that one because we're always talking about gratitude. And that was, so thank you, Marshall, for sending that in. So we're going to talk a little bit on what was sent to me from Entrepreneur Magazine and entrepreneur contributors who have sent some of this information in. And then here in about 20 minutes, we'll hear from our wonderful guest, Adam Judelson, and he'll, like I said, give you the expert opinion. So grab a latte, sit back. I'm going to talk a little bit about establishing meaningful and fruitful connections in the workplace. You know, there are several keys of being successful in the business world, with the most important being the establishment of trusted and dependable relationships. To connect well with others, you have to know yourself well enough to manage and utilize our unique motivations, quirks, downfalls, and strengths. We cannot reach the success we desire without first being the greatest manager of our own internal world. Once we are clear, on how our emotions operate, we are more equipped to predict, work with, and connect to the emotions of others. So one of the first suggestion tips is know yourself. To create and develop the relationships we crave to secure in the workplace, we need to know how to work with them and to manage our own emotions. We must take time to analyze ourselves and identify the vulnerabilities and insecurities that may be holding us back. Understanding and identifying these places in our own personalities is key to understanding what we need to change and work on to connect with others better. Personality is everything in business. If we have a cold, insensitive personality, we may feel misunderstood, but we have no resource if the people we work with or who work under us cannot understand us. We must be able to look in the mirror at the relationship skills which work for us and which don't, and work hard to soften the edges of our personality where we run into conflict. Personality conflicts push opportunities away, ladies and gentlemen. We all know that. To lead ourselves successfully, it requires we establish a balance between driving hard and knowing when to pull back in relationships. If we do not know our own emotions, we will not be able to effectively manage or predict the emotions of others. The second tip is mindfulness. And again, I want to remind you, don't scurry to go get pen and paper to write these things down. This show, right after it broadcasts live today, you can go into the link where the advertisings are all over a social network or into Blog Talk Radio, the Network and Diva Hour, and pull up today's show and play it back as often as you like. But I ask you to share it with someone who might need to hear what we're talking about. So sit back and relax and just listen. And if you want to go back over, you go back into the show right after we record it live. Most people are so self-focused in business that they forget to think about how the way they operate may be holding them back from being even more successful. To be mindful, we need to observe how others respond to us, especially in the face of conflict. What we have to realize is that even the most rational people, when in conflict, lose their capacity to think straight. In those moments, we must maintain our composure. The best way to do that is listening. Yeah, you heard me. Or did you? When listening, our mouth isn't speaking. Listening allows us to think and find solutions. Listening allows us to take our time between listening is about the other. It puts us in a proactive rather than a reactive state of mind. The third suggestion is understanding emotion. To effectively manage our emotions, it takes self-examination. Emotions follow a logical pattern if we know how to look at them. Emotions rise and emotions fall. When we're hijacked by a negative emotion, we want to refrain from acting out at the peak of the emotional wave. This takes self-restraint. We must allow ourselves to come down from this reactive place so we can take some time to digest what is going on before we respond. When we're dealing with the intensity of positive emotion, we do not want to make irrational decisions at the peak of this wave either. Just because we're feeling great, emotional management and establishing connections means we practice the art of looking behind the intensity of the moment to a bigger picture and how that bigger picture impacts everyone, not just how it impacts us individually. Got that? Number four tip is utilizing emotions for connection. Different emotions help us connect in different ways with different people. As we learn to navigate our own emotions, it is easier to identify and work with the emotional states of our coworkers and superiors. All connections is based in emotion. Once we have identified the emotional patterns of our coworkers and superiors, we can be more deliberate in utilizing what we have identified to establish deeper and more dependable working relationships with them. For instance, when we know another person's emotional patterns, we are better able to predict what we can push and what we need to give space. When we can step in and help, and when we need to back off. That's utilizing emotions for connections. The fifth tip is using emotions to improve morale. Emotions determine experience and perception. To proficiently manage our emotions and others and those of others, we must maintain morale by getting our coworkers and superiors to think less about themselves and more about the team. Remember, there's no I in the word team. Emotions are what get us incensed to move on to anything. We must use our emotions to get our coworkers motivated and goal-oriented. We can use our emotions to let them know how critical it is to work together and as a whole and to get bigger goals set out in front of us accomplished. The critical elements in creating morale are speed and adaptability, the ability to move and make decisions faster than our coworkers so we can give them a clear idea of what the bigger picture looks like. We can use our emotions to show what the rewards will be in the results that are achieved. Yeah. When this happens, people come together and feel good about their connections. The best connections are established when working hard, working together, while also having fun. We want to use our emotions to bond with our team members and superiors as a way to make achieving goals a meaningful and impactful service. Now, on the softer side, those were the five tips. But on the softer side, why why making personal connection is important for your business and career, you may have already noticed this shift taking place in your industry. From sales to engineering, new generations of employees and their employers are placing an emphasis on emotional intelligence, relationship building, and teamwork. Technology has opened up new economic avenues all over the globe. When choosing a product or partner, businesses and consumers can select from a worldwide array of organizations. Being selected in the competitive market requires more than just presenting a valuable product or service. Of course, the traditional reasons for building relationships continue to be important. Despite new technologies that allow us to participate in cyber conferences and webinars, networking and in-person conferences aren't going anywhere. Still, through leadership and influence still depend on building personal relationships. Making more connections means gaining more advocates and extending your reach. Finally, opening yourself to forming new relationships also opens the door to serendipity. None of us can predict the future. Sometimes life just happens, and if you aren't participating, you're going to miss out. A chance encounter might become a foundation for a great business venture, a new career, or a new relationship. You never know who you're going to meet until you met them. For these and many other reasons, everyone can benefit from developing their softer side and learning to form real and lasting relationship connections. So I thank the entrepreneur contributors for sending some of this information, plus my own. And we're going to have, like I said, in about 5 minutes or so, we're going to have our guest. And he will definitely blow your mind. So we're going to take a short break, I think. Let's see here if everything's working today. And I will be right back. I'm your host, Janice Carlson. Take a listen. No, apparently not. For some reason, it's not working today, our connections for our commercials. So I'm going to read that.
Do you often find yourself struggling to find the joy in every day? Would you like to feel as good as you know you should? The daily struggle to find joy and happiness is shared by hundreds of millions of people around the world, and you don't have to be among them any longer. Hi, I'm the Gratitude Dr. Johnny Bergstrom. For years, I struggled to find the joy that I knew I should feel, and after years of heartache and unhappiness, I treated my life with gratitude, and gratitude changed everything. I can coach you to heal your life with gratitude. Find the Center of Gratitude radio show and the Gratitude Doctor podcast, and in 15 minutes or less, you'll be well on your way to that joyful feeling with gratitude.
ColoradoSpringsOver50.com is a newly designed online member directory for businesses and organizations that provide products and services for the over 50 population. The directory features your own marketing landing page, electronic business card, event postings, member page, activity analysis, and more. So text the word CSOver50, that is CSOVER50, to 72727. And visit our website to see other features and benefits. Stop by online today at ColoradoSpringsOver50.com or text to receive our electronic business card. Colorado Springs Over 50, the best is yet to come.
Center for Spiritual Living embraces a spiritual philosophy for the modern world promoting oneness. It is based on the truth that arises in every culture in the form of science, philosophy, and religion. Our international centers were founded by Dr. Ernest Holmes, a self-taught philosopher who rigorously studied the world's spiritual paths for most of his life. We realize you have many choices in your spiritual quest, and we honor all faiths, lifestyles, and beliefs. Reverend Norm Bouchard is a lifestyle humorist with a BA in philosophy, a Master of Divinity, a pastoral care degree, and is a certified senior advisor. These informal services are uplifting, impactful, and inspirational. We strive to deliver a message that is powerful, relevant to modern life, and applicable to your daily routine. Our professional musicians and guest artists provide live music every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 5075 Flint Ridge Drive in Colorado Springs, or watch us online at cslcs.org. We invite you to visit and challenge you to step into your greatness.
Do you know what is in your water? Has your doctor ever said you were dehydrated yet you drink a lot of water? Bottled water is not absorbed. It's only 15% hydration. Get water that is actually absorbed at 75% with antioxidants to boost your immune system. pH is important, and we recommend 9.5, but it has to be made that way through electrolysis, never with chemicals added. We only pour Kangen water at Oasis for Water, 204 Mount View Lane, Colorado Springs, a free water shop. Anyone interested in working from home nationally or internationally, contact us to hear more at 719-930-2359 or 719-360-2998 and go to KangenofColorado.com for more information. Kangen water. Often imitated, but never duplicated.
You hear all the time about what is in your water. As you also heard, bottled water is not absorbed. It's only 15% hydration. You need water that is actually absorbed at 85% with antioxidants to boost your immune system. Oasis for Water recommends, and so do I, 9.5, but it has to be made that way through electrolysis, never with chemicals added. They only pour Kangen water at Oasis for Water and have information sessions on the water, health, and business. I have been benefiting for over 5 years now. This is a free water shop in Colorado Springs, so you can try it for yourself. Anyone interested in attending these meetings or finding out how this water can change your life, call 719-930-2359 or 719-360-2998 and go to KangenofColorado.com for information. Kangen water, often imitated, but never duplicated.
Shield 616 is a nonprofit 501c3 that was formed to help get local officers safer gear protection against rifle threats. We put together an armor package that was designed by street cops for the street cops. This armor package can be rapidly deployed to give the officer better protection and the gear needed to handle a potential active shooter situation. Shield 616 actively seeks local citizens, families, businesses, churches, and foundations who would be willing to financially support a local officer in your state to donate the armor to. The full armor package costs $1,400 per officer. However, you can donate any amount and still have the opportunity to get to know the officer you donated to. Let's break down the barrier that exists between local law enforcement and citizens. We're also asking the donors to act as an encouraging support person for the officer that they are sponsoring. This gives local citizens the opportunity to have a potential life-saving impact on a local officer and the opportunity to personally get to know his or her family and be able to pray for them specifically. With all the violence happening around the country, now more than ever, your local law enforcement needs your help and support. Make your potentially life-saving donation now. Go to shield616.org to donate, and you can request an officer or deputy right in your own area. Let us help protect our first responders that protect us.
Accounting can be one of the most time-consuming aspects of operating a small business, but it is paramount to the success of your business, especially since 2021. The work can be extremely overwhelming for business owners who lack the time, knowledge, and skills to properly handle their accounts. Your Tax Lady LLC Accounting Service utilizes their knowledge and experience to professionally handle your small business accounting needs. They are also equipped to remotely handle most small business needs nationwide and welcome you to contact them for a consultation. Your tax lady, Kathy Bilkus, is an enrolled agent and America's tax expert working for you for over 40-plus years. Call your tax lady today at 719-548-4924 or online at taxladyllc.com. Your tax lady continues to check your bottom line so the government still doesn't get it all.
Now back to the Networking Diva Hour with your host, Janice Carlson.
Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for taking a moment to hear from the sponsors that make this show possible, as I said, celebrating almost 9 years. I want to talk a little bit about my guest today, and I apologize if I'm not saying your name right. You can correct me when you're on. And Adam Judelson is a Los Angeles-based entrepreneur and executive startup advisor focused on products that attempt to make the world a better place, whether for consumers or businesses. Adam led product for the flagship data platform at the now publicized traded Palantir Technologies, the first venture-backed startup that focused on the challenging of marshaling data to answer the toughest questions facing governments and commercial institutions alike. Over the past 5 years, Adam has worked and advised across social good technologies, space, satellites, and more, also consumer privacy-focused companies. Adam founded Network Nerd along his journey to focus on the persistent challenge of creating the strongest possible interpersonal relationships with the least amount of effort. Adam believes that persistent limitations of our brains and memory contribute unnecessarily to the slow destruction of the very relationships we crave, and he is working to give people tools to exceed these natural limits. Wow, that's a mouthful. So please, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the platform Adam Judelson. Good morning. Am I saying your name correctly?
Good morning. Good morning. Adam Judelson. Thank you very much.
Judelson. Okay. I apologize. I had a choice, and I made the wrong one. How are you
no
today,
problem.
Adam?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm great, and we're very excited to have you on the presentation route for our radio show, and everything that you have discussed with me over the internet and me looking up several things made you very interesting as a guest to be on our show. And so I am very excited to hear why you started this, more so than what I read in your bio. And then tell us what you want our audience to hear today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll start with a little bit of background on myself to kind of put into context how I arrived at the challenge that Network Nerd is attempting to solve. So I grew up in Silicon Valley around the tech establishment, but I actually decided to leave Silicon Valley when I went to college to go join the national security establishment and really focus on national security and defense. And that's kind of how I got involved with companies like Palantir in the early days. For folks in the audience who aren't familiar, Palantir is basically a data company. We like to talk about ourselves as an operating system for data. And so for most normal consumers, you don't really come across this problem. But for very large organizations, especially ones that have acquired other organizations, you can think like a regional bank that gets acquired by a larger bank. When those institutions come together, they bring lots of different data sources together, and then it becomes very difficult for them to get the answers that they want from that information. And that's true of government institutions, and it's also true of commercial institutions. And while the data itself is actually kind of esoteric and can be even a little bit boring, the mission that bringing that data together to solve is extremely compelling. And for someone like myself coming out of government service first, it was really important to me to be able to kind of contribute back and do something. And so those missions sound like things like counterterrorism and finding the next bad guy. They sound like finding fraud in your credit card and making sure that people aren't actually stealing information from you or stealing your data, which tends to be passed on to consumers in the form of higher costs. So there's all sorts of problems that live in that world. And, you know, while I was at Palantir is really where I started to get the bug for. So Palantir was a company focused on very large institutions, very large government organizations, you know, very big deals, that sort of thing. But we had this one product that we started building that was actually for small and medium-sized businesses. And during that time, I spent a number of months basically literally like walking around places in Palo Alto trying to meet small business owners. So I would go into restaurants, I would go into bars, I would go into retail shops, and I would just start talking to them about the challenges that they struggle with when they're trying to run and grow and scale their businesses. And that was really the first time that I got inspired by the consumer side of the market. Up until that point in my career, I had only ever worked on, you know, big, large corporations. And so when I first left Palantir, I decided to found this crazy company with a buddy that we called Speaker Technologies, where we wanted to empower consumers to have more power in the political process. We were hoping to help balance their energy against the energy of large special interests so that the consumer could actually get what they wanted from their government. And we came up with a couple of interesting things, but, you know, like most startups, especially like when you're doing something for the first time, especially if it's outside of your wheelhouse, you make a lot of mistakes and learn a lot of lessons. So in the end, we had a product that was all right, but it didn't grow fast enough. So, you know, after that, I spent the last 5 or 6 years basically working with what we in my part of the world call emerging tech. So companies that are trying to build things that have never existed before. But I always continued to have this itch to do something for just regular, normal people, you know, not necessarily people who are launching satellites or doing something unusual or working on nuclear reactors or trying to find the next bad guy. Always just wanted to be able to do something that, you know, I could go talk to my friends about and they would understand it, like, oh yeah, I see how that helps me, right? Instead of these like big, very important challenges that I love to work on and enjoy doing as, you know, most of the time. But I always just had this itch to try to do something a little more consumer focused. And I combine that with the fact that when I was working directly in a lot of these extremely high paced venture backed startups, what happens is, you know, you're working 13, 14, 15, 16 hour days, you're working most of the days of the week, most of the weekends, and you get very close with your colleagues, but you get estranged from pretty much anybody who is outside of those contexts. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I first left Palantir and went out on my own working on Speaker Technologies. And, you know, in like the first 2 or 3 weeks that I was on my own, I met with like 20 or 30 people. And I couldn't believe how many wonderful, amazing people, you know, I had sort of accidentally neglected. I say accidentally because I don't think any of us willfully try to destroy our relationships, right? I think almost every human, even the most introverted among us, like craves some degree of connection with others. So we're never trying to hurt the relationships for the most part. And so I took that pain point of wanting to do something about those relationships and my sort of budding passion for consumer apps. And I gave myself a challenge and I said, I'm going to see if I can get an app into the iOS app store for $1,000 or less and with less than 1 month of effort. And that was actually the birth of Network Nerd. And this was actually a couple of years ago now. Because when I first built it, I really only built it for myself. You know, I just wanted to see if I could get something out there that I could, you know, have and use. And I was struggling with this problem as well. But then, you know, there were a couple of things that happened over the last few years that really helped to focus my effort here. And over a 24-month period, I had three friends who were all tragically killed in senseless things, car accidents, cancer, things like that. And they just went, you know, far too soon. And it was a huge wake-up call for me, because in almost every one of those situations, when I looked back at my sort of communication pattern with those individuals, and this is where you sort of get the sense that it harkens back to my data background, when I started to look at the actual data, what I realized was I hadn't been as good of a friend as I thought that I was, if that makes sense. You know, hadn't reached out in a little while. It wasn't forever. It wasn't like we hadn't been in touch at all. But it had been a while. The last couple of things that we talked about weren't particularly meaningful. They weren't particularly deep. It was very sort of transactional. And I was embarrassed. And what I said to myself at that point was, you know, I've got this app. And I had put, since that time, I had put more time and energy into it. I had made some improvements. But I still didn't really have that many users. I didn't advertise it. I didn't tell anybody about it. It was just something that I was using. And so really about a year ago was when I really started to push on it hard. And I really started to say, okay, maybe other people have this challenge too. Maybe I should open this up. And I started opening it up, and the response was really positive. And I think what it really comes down to, and I'll get into what the app does in a couple of minutes, but I think what it really comes down to, the problem that we're really trying to solve here is that we have these fundamental limits on our brain. And I kind of discovered these a long time ago during my Palantir days. I co-founded a class at Georgetown with a good friend called Disruptive Analytics, where we tried to sort of break down how to do the best possible analysis of any topic using technology. And one of the things that we realized when we were designing that class that became the cornerstone of the first lecture was that most of the problems in generating great analysis and most of the reasons why humans paired with computers are so good at analysis is because humans and computers have different strengths. And when you think about the way that the brain encodes memories, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist, but, you know, I've read enough on it to understand that fundamentally you're basically storing memories as a web, right? It's a set of connections. And when your brain is trying to recall something, it's basically traversing that web, right? And so one of the hallmarks of this is, as a human, when you walk up and you stand in front of another human being that you recognize, all of a sudden your brain is firing straight down the web exactly to the right place, and you see that person, and a lot of the important things that you want to remember about that person come flooding back. But if that person is not sitting in front of you actively, the chance that your brain will even allow you, from an efficiency standpoint, to go down that pathway is practically zero. And this basically describes why we have this structural limitation that prevents us from remembering the people and the details that we care about if that particular person isn't sort of in our face, in our presence, calling us, text messaging us, seeing them at work at all moments. And, you know, one of the lessons that I learned through the Palantir days, through the technology side of things, is that computers are essentially perfect creatures when it comes to recall of information. They are able to never forget. They are able to always bring back, you know, all of the answers whenever there's a question, whenever one of those answers is known. But the human is much better at sort of like catalyzing what question to ask in the first place. And so, you know, like bringing this into relationships and sort of what Network Nerd does, you know, I've spent a lot of time reading the research on sort of how we form friendships, how many friendships we can form. And for anyone who is a fan of this, you're probably familiar with what's known as the Dunbar number. A famous researcher basically put together a study that said that roughly speaking, we can have between 100 and 250 like real connections, people that we actually know. But deeper research since then has really shown that most of us only have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 close friends that we actually talk to on a regular basis. And frequently that number includes family. And so what we've come to understand is that we really have these sort of concentric circles of relationships. We've got the people who are closest to us, who we're trading text messages with or phone calls with every single day. which can really only be a couple of people, right? Like, we just have only so much time. And then the next
right.
layer out, people they maybe talk to once a week, every couple of weeks. And so what I wanted to do was see, like, is there some way that we can use technology to press out those concentric circles, or compress them inward, I guess, is a better way of describing it, so that you're only going to be able to manage a super duper first class relationship with so many people, right? It takes time. You've got to go to events together. You've got to do all that. But there's all these other people that we like and care about. And what if those are the people that it's hardest to remember about? What if for those individuals, we could remember just enough with the augmentation of an app or a computer, essentially, to be able to maintain more of those relationships and then create more serendipity for ourselves? And that serendipity can occur in, you know, any number of avenues, right? For some people, that serendipity looks like finding their next job. For some people, the serendipity is just finding someone nice to talk to. For some others, the serendipity is more about giving, and they're thinking about, hey, I want to be the thoughtful one in the relationship. I want to remember that you're moving this weekend, and I want to reach out and offer to help, right? I want to remember your kids' names so that the next time we talk, we can have a deeper conversation that starts at a higher level instead of every one of those conversations starting with, hey, can you remind me what your spouse's name is again? And remind, what is it that you do, right? And we all find ourselves in,
right.
in these situations. And so Network Nerd's approach is fundamentally to focus on the tiny details. The tiny details are what matter. And in a way, what the app does is very simplistic. We help people remember those snippets of information, or as I've become fond of calling them, factoids or notes, because my strong belief is if you remember those pieces of information, that's what allows you to actually build and grow your relationships to the next level and make them more and more rewarding for both people in the relationship. And certainly there's
right.
other factors, right? Like how much time you spend together, are you doing activities together, you know, have you shared... if you read the research, you'll find that if you share something personal with someone, that tends to make you closer. But and the app doesn't deal with all of those things. But my theory is that by dealing with remembering those key things, that's what leads to the next level. And then the second side of it is I was really inspired. There's a great app that I'm sure your listeners will love for anybody who loves to read on Kindle and actually highlights, right? I'm a habitual highlighter, especially when I'm reading nonfiction. And the problem is you do all this highlighting and then, you forget what you highlighted, right? And so it's like, I read this book like 2 years ago. I don't remember a single thing from it except that I liked the book. And so there's this great app called Readwise that really inspired me. It's a very simple model. All they do is they take your highlights and they send you an email once a day that reminds you of a couple of the highlights. And to me,
wow.
this was just game-changing. And so I did the same thing with Network Nerd. I set Network Nerd up so that it takes all of your contacts, all of those little factoids, and every single day you get a couple of reminders, right? And it says, okay, don't forget to reach out to Jimmy. It's been 3 months. Don't forget to reach out to Steve. It's been 2 months. Don't forget that Susie said that she's looking for a job. And then you remember, oh, maybe there is someone I can introduce her to actually help her with this challenge. So fundamentally,
wow, I know a lot of people that would benefit from that.
good. Yeah, it's the way I think of it is what I've built is essentially a marriage of sort of a contact app, a customer relationship management or CRM system, and a personal assistant, right? Because it's letting you store that information, it's letting you sort of build up the relationship, and then it reminds you of those things. And so, we've taken basically, like, I think the easiest way to think about it, because I know it's hard when we're just on the phone for people to sort of visualize, well, what is this thing really? If you go into your phone's contact app, we've probably all noticed you can put in the phone number, the email, but there's also a place where you can put in notes, right? And most people do not use this field because it's not that helpful, right? You just have to sort of like brain dump your notes. They're hard to find. They're hard to search for. It doesn't remind you of them. And so in essence, Network Nerd is taking that notes field and putting it completely on steroids. And it's making the whole app experience essentially around the notes. So we give you the ability to sort of organize your contacts, and you can put them into those concentric circles or groups, like close friends or whatever, and then you can capture notes, and you can get these reminders, and you can powerfully search it so that you can get all the information that you're looking for.
Great. Let's take
and,
a couple of
yeah.
questions here
sure.
before you go on. The first one
Absolutely.
Is from David B. from Ogden, Utah, and he stated, memory depends on forming new neutral connections. As we've seen before, we do have a limited number of such connections. When we age, does it become both harder to learn for our brain to create new connections and harder to remember as we tend to start confusing events and facts?
That's a great question. I mean, that's unfortunately, I think I'd have to be a full neuroscientist to really answer that. But from my understanding, our brains, the neuroplasticity in our brains is something that can be exercised. And I have some great friends in this field, so I'll borrow some of their talking points. Fundamentally, if you're exercising your brain, meaning you are trying to form new connections, you are trying to learn to do new things, you are having new experiences, it will definitely grow and last longer, if that makes sense. I can't give you the scientific answer about, you know, sort of will it atrophy anyways over time,
mm-hmm.
But what we do know is that you can resist that. And in fact, one of our first power users on Network Nerd was someone who had a case of early onset Alzheimer's. And basically the thought was, hey, if I can keep this information clearly enough in the app, then when I do set up times to see those people, I can open up the app, quickly skim everything, it will remind me of everything, and even if I didn't actually remember it, the app remembered it for me, and then I can go into that one-on-one situation and feel confident again. So that's kind of my answer there.
Great. Let's take one more before you go on, and it's from, in reference to the app, it's from Tom F. from District of Columbia, and he's asking, the complex interactions in our mind shape our thoughts, memories, feelings, and dreams, and ultimately make us who we are. Is there a limit to what this wonderful app can accomplish?
You know, we haven't seen it yet. and I think we talk about in the high-tech world, we talk about things being human scale and being web scale and being all these different scales. And to me, Network Nerd is a human scale app. So what I mean by that is, you know, most people who are using the app and are really putting a lot of their contacts into it have on the order of hundreds of contacts, maybe a few thousand. The biggest account that I've seen so far is a little over 10,000, which is pretty crazy if you think about someone trying to manage 10,000 relationships. So I suspect, you know, at some point I'm going to send you too many reminders and there's just not enough minutes in the day for you to reach out to mm-hmm. all of those people. But I've been personally using the app every single day since I first launched it, and I've never found that was the limiting factor, right? The limiting factor is always, you know, sort of willpower to take those reminders and go do something with them. I could definitely be connecting with even more people than I do on a daily basis. But I'll say that because of the app, I feel like I'm actually the best in touch with everybody that I know that I've ever been. So I do think there's some natural limits. But again, going back to that sort of Dunbar number, most of us are hovering at, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 connections that we really remember something about. And I think for anybody, you could easily get that number up into the low hundreds. And if you're really disciplined, I think you can get it up over 1,000 just by having the assistance of the computer.
Mm-hmm. But like you just said, though, sometimes it's going to be an overload of trying to give you all the things you're supposed to remember when you don't have that much time in a day. So would that tend to have people be disgruntled about this app or turn it off?
No, we take this very seriously, and I think one of the keys is we help you figure out how much you want to be reminded of.
Okay.
So for any given contact, you can set, for example, how often you want to keep in touch with that person. So for some people,
Great.
I'll set my cadence to once a year. for some people, I'll set the cadence to weekly, right? And it just depends on who the person is and what the relationship is. And for every piece of data you put into the app, there's a little bell icon you can turn on and off to basically decide, is this something I want to be reminded about or not? And some reminders are actually quite complicated in that you they're not actually based on randomness, right? So if someone tells you, hey, I'm moving, you know, from this state to the next state in 3 months, you don't actually want to be reminded of that randomly at all. You want to be reminded of it like a week before they move, a week after they move. And so you can set those sorts of reminders, and you can also limit the entire set, right? So so what you do in your preferences, you basically just choose how many you want to receive. For most people, I recommend that you receive basically 2 facts per person across 5 people per day. And I find that that's a number that takes you about 15 or 20 seconds to skim. And on most days, you'll decide that you're not going to reach out to most of those people. But on most days, there's usually 1 or 2 things that trigger something for you out of those. And then that's where the gold happens. That's when you realize, hey, there's this we should go on this camping trip we've always been talking about. Great. He loves camping. I know that. Now I'm going to ping him, you know, and then you have these great memories. And fundamentally, your life gets better from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's take one more question, because then we'll only have about 9 minutes left in the show for you to give us more information. And this is from AJM from San Francisco, California. And he's saying, substantially more technology-driven change in apps will take place during the coming 2 decades than in the first ICT-based revolution, with profound social, economic, and geopolitical ramifications. As a practical matter, as these technologies are deployed over these coming decades, will bringing about accelerating economic and geopolitical change, in your opinion, begin this decade? Wow.
Oh, that's a great strategic question. I mean, I think it's already starting. I think the real question is, when will mass adoption of those changes come? I think this is a question that I think really plays into things like augmented reality and virtual reality, and, you know, how quickly will we get to the point where everybody's sort of living in a headset versus living in the real world. My personal opinion is that there will always be balance. I think there will always be things that we prefer to do in the real world, which is why I'm actually a bigger fan of augmented reality than virtual reality. For those who are not close to this field, basically this is the difference between, you know, putting on a headset and you are fully in a virtual world versus being in the real world wearing, say, a set of glasses, and when you walk up to somebody you haven't seen in a while, you get a notification from Network Nerd that says, hey, that person's name is Jimmy, his wife is Susie, they have 3 kids, and their dog's name is Scooter, right? And but you're still in the actual real world. You know, so I think that the latter, that augmented reality where we're still inhabiting the real world, is going to fundamentally stick around. I do think there are certain experiences that will go fully into the metaverse. I think a great example is education. It's pretty clear that it is, you know, unsustainable to charge $250,000 a year to go to the best colleges and universities, especially when you could virtually go to those same lectures, virtually go to those laboratories, virtually dissect whatever thing you need to dissect, right? And so I think there will be a blend, and there's definitely a lot of exuberance about these fields at the moment, but I think it'll be an evolutionary cycle. I don't think we're going to wake up one day and have everybody wearing the headsets, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good answer. Thank you for that. Well, we got about 6 minutes left in the show. What do you want to tell our audience the importance of this app, and then give out your information for them to be able to connect with you?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, fundamentally what I want to be able to do here for people is replace your contact app. I want to give you an app that lets you focus on the context and the things that will grow your relationships instead of merely tracking people's phone numbers and their email addresses. Phone numbers and email addresses have actually become really easy to find because of Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all the different social networks. It's not hard to figure out how to reach out to someone. The hard part is to remember what to reach out to them about. And so I would just say to the audience, give that a shot. Try capturing the context for a change. Try remembering at the end of your day, I met with 3 or 4 people today. What were the 2 or 3 things that I really want to remember for the next conversation? I think that is what I'm personally realizing is helping me in my journey. And I know it's a cornerstone for Network Nerd. As far as taking a look at the app, you can find the app on the iOS App Store. We have an Android waitlist. Unfortunately, we are not on Android yet. Our website is www.networknerd.app, all one word. The app in the App Store is Network Nerd, all one word. And you can start for free. We have a freemium model, so anyone can get started and start putting in contacts. You'd be surprised how far you can get even if you put in 20 contacts or so. It's actually enough to really start helping you grow your relationships. And one of the things that we're offering right now is a concierge program where we basically will work with individuals one-on-one to help them meet their relationship goals. And actually, for a limited time, I'm going to personally help the first 5 people who sign up for the concierge program. And it's a two-way win for everybody, right? You get my direct assistance, and I get to really understand at a deep level like what part of building relationships I can help you most with, which helps us ultimately to improve the product. And so, the biggest thing for us is the set of people who are making a spreadsheet to track this information, who are using the notes in their built-in contacts app but struggling, those people are fundamentally hard for us to find. So one of the reasons that we're going on podcasts like yours is to really be able to connect with broader audiences, to start to be able to really understand, okay, what kind of people care the most about this? So if you're listening right now and this sounds like it's up your alley, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can reach out on any of the different locations that I just described, or you can reach out to me personally, adam@networknerd.app, or on Twitter, I'm ajuggles, like J-U-G-G-L-E-S, like the word juggle, but A in front for Adam. And we're just starting our presence on TikTok, where we're going to be giving out tips for how to grow your relationships every couple of days. And so we have an account there, adam_the_connector on TikTok. And you can watch these really short videos that will give you a couple of tips a day to grow your relationships.
Great. Well, that's a lot of information, but you don't have it available for Android phones yet.
Unfortunately, not just yet. But hey, if we get a ton of interest today, we can bring that up a little faster.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people that do have Androids over iPhones. But what great information and what a wonderful app this sounds like. I'm so glad you came on the show to share this with our audience. And I hope you do get a great response. And don't forget, you can listen back to this show anytime. I'm talking to the entire audience. After this live show ends here in a few moments, it'll be in the archives on our Blog Talk Radio, the Networking Diva Hour, and you could share it with a friend or listen back and take notes. So, Adam, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing this great information with our audience, and I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you for being a guest. Yes, and that was a wonderful replay. With information on how to establish and grow meaningful interpersonal connections in your business. And again, you can listen back. This was a recording from our live show in July of 2022. And I hope that you got more out of it or maybe got something out of it, didn't get a chance to listen to it. But please remember, you can share it with a friend when you play it back on Blog Talk Radio, the Networking Diva Hour. We have all our shows by date, by topic, and by guest. So please, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your hot July weekend. This is your host, Janice Carlson, and until next week, I will see you on the radio. Thank you for listening. I got the eye of the tiger.